Today we're going to be starting a new sermon series. But before we get started, I want to give you some background on the heart that's going to be teaching us. In John 1:42, we find a man named Simon being introduced to Jesus. And Jesus says to him, "Hi, you're Simon. Your dad is John. From now on, we're going to call you Cephas," or Peter. Later on, we find Jesus asking who people think he is, and Peter responds, "You're the Messiah." And Jesus says, "How blessed you are to have that wisdom revealed to you by God. You are Peter, and upon this rock I shall build my church." We know by looking forward in the Bible that Peter gets off track, and when things get messy, he denies knowing Jesus. We also know just before this, Jesus says to Peter, "Satan wants to sift you as wheat." This means that Satan wants to expose Peter's hidden flaws. How many of you remember a flour sifter? I was hoping for more hands than that. But at least we got a young person raise their hand. The way I remember it, was there was this screen in the bottom of like a metal measuring cup with a handle on it. And as you turn the handle, it would sift through the flour and the fine powder would come out the bottom. And if there was any impurities in that clump of flour that you threw in there, they would remain in there if they didn't get mashed down by the little blades inside there. And so when you put this pile of flour in a sifter and you start turning the crank, if there's any impurities in there, they will show up. And so this is the reference that Jesus is making to Peter. Satan wants to sift you as wheat. He wants to expose your flaws. Do you have any hidden flaws? Or maybe they're not hidden for you, but you wear them like a badge of honor. "This is who I am. This is just how I am." And you'll have to accept it. Our message today deals with both of these attitudes. So we see Jesus meet Peter and change his name from Simon to Peter. Then we see Jesus make a play on words with Peter's new name and identify that Jesus is going to build his church on Peter, the rock. Both of these occur before the pressure of Jesus' arrest, before it leads to Peter denying that he knows Jesus. When Jesus told Peter that Satan wanted to sift him like wheat, Jesus also told Peter that it would be okay, because Jesus prayed for him. Jesus interceded for Peter. And in case you don't know it, Jesus has already interceded for you too. He interceded for you on the cross. He interceded for me on the cross. Jesus prayed that Peter's faith would not fail. Jesus saw everything coming, and he was still confident in Peter as the rock that he would build his church on. We also know that Peter does fail. That when Peter does fail and denies knowing Jesus, that he runs off and at one point returns to his old life. When times got difficult, many of us have turned back from our new Christian life to the life that was easier, the life that was more entertaining, or the life that was ingrained into us and came out like second nature. Originally, when I was writing this out, I just skipped right on into the next thing, but I wanna stop. I'm going to share a story so that maybe you can relate to this. Not that I want you to be in this place, but I want you to recognize if you are, so that as we go forward, you'll know if your heart needs to do something today. There is actually several people that I know that have experienced similar things like this. So don't take this story and say, "Okay, this is literally what the story was, and I don't have that exact story, so this doesn't apply to me." You can relate it across the board. So there's this person that I know that got in a situation, and it led to a bad choice. And after that bad choice was over, they continued on with their life, and nothing really came about from that choice. So when the situation came again and presented itself, it was easier this time to make that same choice. And so that same choice was repeated, and nothing came about. So the next time that choice presented itself, it was repeated again, and repeated again, and repeated again. And then it became part of that person's life. And that person just continued repeating that. And then as life went on for this particular person, they began to see it as, this is just how I am. And my friends over here that hang out with me and we do the same thing, that's just how it is for them too. And so maybe it's like that for everybody. And so what am I worried about? Why was I so hesitant to get involved in this in the first place? Everybody's doing it. It's no big deal. And then God's word is filled with all kinds of things that say don't do this or do this because there's consequences and rewards that God wants us to experience or not to experience. There's reasons why we shouldn't do certain things in life. And though it may not have had a consequence immediately, eventually it will lead to a place that God never wanted us to experience. Eventually it will lead to a place where maybe your parents never wanted you to experience that situation. And so all the times they told you, please don't do this, and then you did it and you didn't see any issues with it, and now it became a part of your life, and all of a sudden, 10, 20 years down the road, now you're starting to see the consequence of that choice. And for this person that I started telling you the story about, this is what happened for them. It wasn't 10 or 20 years down the road, it was about 5 years down the road. And this person started seeing the consequences of all of that they had been doing for now the past 5 years that had become a part of their life and had intertwined itself in their life. And they couldn't escape what they had started now. Every time they turned around, it was pulling them back and pulling them back and pulling them back. And pulling them back, and they couldn't get away. And so for this particular person that I'm talking about, it was drugs. And that's why I started by saying maybe your issue isn't with drugs, but it doesn't have to be specifically with drugs. Whatever you did that you knew at the beginning you weren't supposed to do, and then you decided that it wasn't so bad after all, and you made it part of your life, it still applies. So this person, when they saw the mess that they were making of their life, they decided to make some changes. And for this particular person, it was enforced on them, which can be a great thing. This person went into a program, and the program didn't go well for him. They went into another program, and that one didn't go well either. And finally, this person went into a program, and it really latched a hold of this person's heart. And they made changes in their life. They saw the consequences of what their choices were leading to. They saw where their life could be going. And by being in this program, when they didn't feel like their issue was really that big of a deal, and they started meeting people who were 20, 30, 40 years into this addiction, and started seeing how it was affecting their life, they started seeing the real effects of what could happen if they continue in this path. And so they started receiving this into their heart, that I have to make a choice to stop this. I have to make a choice to change this. I have to make a choice to put something else in my life that's going to lead to a better situation than the direction I'm going. And so this person made that choice, and this person had change in their life. I don't want to say they changed their life, because God had a big part in that. Change happened in their life. And then after they were done with their program, they started back into life, and they started doing things. And they were diligent. This person was diligent to make sure that they were doing the right thing all the time. And about 4 years after coming out of this program, it was actually a little less than 4 years, but after coming out of this program, the temptation presented itself to this person again. And may have presented itself numerous times with successful rejection. But this particular time, the rejection didn't happen. And then it happened again. And then this person realized that they had opened the door to Satan again. And they were caught in this once again. And they either had to come clean and say that this was a problem for them again, or they had to hide and not let anybody know. And this person decided to hide, and then it became visible. And they couldn't hide anymore. And they had to let it out. This person had to repeat the steps of being freed and redeemed. But it wasn't a loss. Because this person went through this time in their life of having to be restored again, this person now has that much more strength when that temptation comes again. that much more history to stand on and say, look it, I knew then that it wasn't right. I was freed from it once. I gave into it again, and it did grab a hold of me again. And I've been redeemed from it again. And this time, I'm not giving it a foothold. This person has been free from drugs for several years now, but they did have to go through the experience. It would change things in their heart. When times got difficult, many of us have turned back from our new Christian life to the life that was easier, more entertaining, and are ingrained in us and came out as second nature. If this is you today, if you have experienced struggles and heartache, and it's caused you to crumble inside and weaken in your resolve to do the right thing, take heart. Jesus has interceded for you too. Jesus' prayer is that none who were given to Him would be lost. He's still longing for your whole heart to turn back to Him. God the Father is still watching off in the distance for your trust in Him to return, your heart to come home to Him. Peter went through all these experiences with Jesus that we read about in the Gospel, all these miraculous signs and wonders that he saw, all these times of getting it right. Yay, Peter, he walked on water. He got it right. He put his eyes on Jesus, and then he took his eyes off Jesus, and he began to sink. He had all these experiences with Jesus, and then we get to other parts of Scripture where it shows that Jesus knows the whole time that Peter is going to crumble under the coming pressure. But Jesus also knows that when Jesus gives Peter the opportunity to repent and declare his love and adoration for Jesus once again, that this time Peter is going to be a bit stronger. At one time Peter said, no, I'm strong. I'll stand with you. I'll stand for you. But when the time came, he didn't. Have you ever known what you were supposed to do, but when the time came, you backed out, second-guessed, or convinced yourself that this couldn't be the right answer? I have another story for you. I feel like I deprived you of stories over the past couple weeks. So, for this particular person, they were in a gas station, a convenience store gas station, and they were talking with some people that were there, and they saw this lady go up to the register and attempt to pay with her card for the gas that she had just pumped, and the card was declined. And the lady began to frantically dig through her purse looking for all the money that she had in her purse, and there wasn't enough. And she said to the cashier with the line standing behind her, "I got to go out to my car and see if I have more money. I didn't realize that I didn't have money on my card." And she went out and she started digging through her purse. And this person that was standing there talking to people saw all this happening and thought for a moment that they had enough cash on them to be able to help this lady out. But if they gave their cash away, then they wouldn't have it anymore. And was there something else that they were supposed to be using that cash for? Well, this person said that there was. And so they began to wonder, is this God leading me to do this, or is this my own pride wanting to step in and be the hero and save the day? And they began thinking, is this something that I should do? Where would God's glory be in this? You know, if I just paid for this person's gas, would there be anything about God involved in that? And so as this person began running through all these thoughts in their mind, they convinced themselves that, well, if all of this was the case and it wasn't just impressed upon their heart to do this, then it must not be God. And so they didn't do it. And they eventually got into their car while this lady was out talking on the cell phone, trying to get somebody to bring money so that this lady could pay for her gas. This person drove away. But this person has also shared a story of a time that they didn't do that. They did something else. This person, again, was talking with some people in a similar store, and it was at lunchtime, and there was this contractor, young guy, who had come up to the register with his drink and his sandwich and whatever else that he had, and he set it all down at the register, and they rang it all up, and he swiped his card, and how many of you have ever had a card that that you thought had money on it and it didn't work. I know I have. He swiped his card and nothing. Again, a line of people standing behind him. He started searching his pockets. Nothing. He turned around to ask a friend if he could borrow money, and the friend said, I only have enough for mine. And this person turned around and motioned to the cash register, the person standing there, that they had it covered. And then turned around and continued talking with the people that that person was talking to, and the cashier said, no problem, it's covered. Go enjoy your lunch. And the person was like, what? No, that's not how it works. What's going on? How? And the person that was talking and had just made motion that they were going to pay for this turned around to this person who was panicking at the register and said, don't worry about it. Just pay it forward. Weeks later, this person went to that same store and heard the story about how this young guy took to heart what was happening that day and paid it forward. How can God's glory shine in a situation where you just put some money down and help somebody out who's panicking about whatever at the moment? You never know how God's glory can shine through that. But if He's directing you to do it, be assured that He will. Have you ever known what you were supposed to do, but when the time came, you backed out, second-guessed, or convinced yourself that this couldn't be the right answer? After this experience, Peter's heart in recognizing a new chance, this experience that I'm talking about is Peter denying knowing Jesus. After this experience, he knows what it feels like to go down the wrong road. He doesn't like that road, and now that he's been redeemed from that horrible time in his life, he's going to hold on to that experience and not give in to the temptation to repeat that choice. It's the same for us. We are given free will. God's intent in giving us options of choosing right or wrong is to enjoy those who choose right. God created people to love who would also love Him back. We have freedom of choice because how could a person choose to give your heart to God if you didn't at the same time have the choice not to? All people have freedom of choice. And many times we make wrong choices and we get hurt. And other times it's other people who get hurt by our choices. The choice God always wants people to make leads to good, not pain. But in order for it to be your decision to set your heart on following God, there's got to be a good option and a bad option. Like Peter, when we experience the pain and heartache of poor choices and then experience real redemption from that experience, we set our hearts to watch for clues that show that the potential of experiencing that horrible time all over again is before us. And we set ourselves against even a hint of repeating those days. Unfortunately, without true repentance, you are not redeemed from those choices. Until your heart is set against that way of life, you will continue muddling in those messy ways. Your heart needs to reach the place where it determines that nothing is worth going through this again. Once your heart is truly set against every hint of that situation, then you can ask for forgiveness and be redeemed because your heart has turned from that sin. And remember that repentance is more than just the words, I'm sorry. Repentance involves a heart that turns from whatever that situation, that sin was. Peter's heart was now so set to declare Jesus as his Lord and Savior. And with the help of the Holy Spirit, Peter's confidence to rise and proclaim Jesus, even in the face of persecution, was now rock solid. And now upon this rock that Jesus saw from the beginning, this rock that had to go through some rough times in order for the beautiful masterpiece within to be revealed. Now this rock was ready for Jesus to build his church upon. While we go through this new series, I want you to remember the heart that's speaking to us. A heart that was very rough at one time. A heart that got better while walking with Jesus, but then got caught up in a mess and fell hard. A heart that recognizes that fall, was redeemed from it, and has become determined to avoid every hint of going in that direction again. A heart that has chosen to be set on God. The heart teaching these verses that we're going to be going through is a heart that wants to protect people from seeing where poor choices once led this heart to, and set other hearts on finding the blessings found in truly following God. In case you missed all that, it's a heart of I've been there, and I don't want you to experience it, so I'm going to show you the better way. A truly repentant heart that's been set on God will begin to see the blessings found and forever stored as promises in God's holy word. This doesn't mean that everything will be perfect. God's promise of a perfect life is reserved. Well, I wrote all this out, but let's see. What is God's promise of a perfect life reserved for? There's two places that are mentioned in Scripture. It's reserved for when we are with Him in heaven. And it's reserved for when our bodies are restored to us physically, when the new heavens and new earth come. Both times, the perfect life comes when we are physically in the presence of the Lord. This is foretold in Revelations. A truly repentant heart that's truly set on following God with every decision. Today, our scripture verse is 1 Peter 1:17. And you can look it up if you want, or you can let me read it to you, however you choose to do it. 1 Peter 1:17, which says, "If you address as Father the one who impartially judges according to each one's work, conduct yourself in reverent fear of Him and with profound respect for Him throughout the time of your stay on earth." How many of you have heard about the judgment of God that comes upon anyone who adds to or subtracts from God's inspired word? Maybe you've heard the verse that says, "Not many of you should become teachers, because you will be judged for the conditions of the hearts that receive your teaching." Basically, if you step up to teach and you teach wrong, every soul that you lead wrong will be charged to you by God. That's an intensely scary statement. And I didn't read it word for word that time, but let's read it word for word. It's found in James 3:1. Which says, "Not many of you should become teachers, serving in an official teaching capacity, my brothers and sisters, for you know that we who are teachers will be judged by a higher standard, because we have assumed greater accountability and more condemnation if we teach incorrectly." Hearts are extremely important to God, and the effect we have on the hearts of people around us hold rewards and consequences through the written words of God. As we read through the Bible, we see over and over again that these words in Scripture are passed down to us by God. They are His words. We're also told over and over again that God cannot lie. That means that the promised blessings will come to pass, as well as the promised consequences. And so you may be thinking, "Pastor, you're losing me a little bit, but it sounds like you're beginning to preach about the wrath of God. And aren't churches nowadays supposed to be preaching all about the love of God?" I'll share my struggle with you. I read James 3:1, and I received the weight of my calling. I cannot overlook certain parts of God's written word to only present warm and fuzzy pep talks. God's word will not come up void. God cannot lie. This means if God's word promises a consequence, it will happen, just as He says it will. God's word says that some people will think they are doing all the right steps, but when they cross into eternity and try to enter His kingdom, He will say to them, "Depart from me. Your heart was never mine." This means I need to teach people that this will happen, and don't let it be you. Set your heart on God, not on tasks and agendas and appearances. On God, not the list of things to do. God's word also says that there are attitudes and lifestyles that we can hold on to while we're here on earth, and if we choose to remain in them, that we surely will not inherit the kingdom of heaven. Here's just three of them. Sexual sins, There's a whole list of them. Liars, people who choose not to forgive. That's just three of them in the list that surely, Jesus says, will not inherit the kingdom of heaven. These people who remain in these sins, and I wrote this remain in these sins in red because for some people I need to explain that we have the opportunity of forgiveness while we are here. Jesus paid for every sin on the cross. And for every repentant heart, forgiveness is available. But if we choose to remain in these sins that God puts in His Word, if we choose to remain in them, when we see Jesus face to face, it's too late to change our mind. These people who remain in these sins will not inherit the kingdom of heaven. It's promised in God's Word. He cannot lie. It will happen just as He said. Don't let it be you. If you are knowingly living in sin, you are choosing to be separated from God. If you die before you repent of this sin, remember, repentance means turning away from, as well as saying you're sorry and asking for forgiveness. If you die before you set your heart to follow God, to turn away from that sin and follow God with all your heart, then you will receive the promise of what has been written in God's holy word. I have walked up to several pulpits and platforms to teach and preach God's word. I am now accountable for the words that I've said and the souls that have been affected by those words. If I don't teach and preach that you can miss heaven, then every soul that I mislead is on me, according to God's written truth, as I just read in James. I don't have what I'm about to share with you written out, but I feel like I got to share it anyways. Many of you have grown up in churches. Many of you have heard different theologies on how things can go. I can stand up here and I can say to you, this is the theology that I learned, but I'm not going to go that direction today. I'm going to say to you, open up God's Word. Read it for yourself. And if you see, like I see, in God's Word, where people walked away from Jesus, where people did not make it to heaven, if you see in God's Word, then receive it into your heart. Because when I first felt the call to become a pastor, I didn't grow up in church always planning to be a pastor. And so I set out to determine what theology I saw and followed according to God's Word. And I picked the Assemblies of God because it lined up with what I saw in God's Word. I'm going to ask you today to do that for yourself. If you've heard, been taught about once saved, always saved, if you professed with your mouth those words, then you're good and you can go about whatever you want and you're okay. I'm going to ask you to search God's Word and see if that's what you find written in it, because that's not what I find written in it. If I don't preach and teach that you can miss heaven, then every soul that I misled is on me according to God's written truth. If I skip over these verses and only preach the truth of mercy, grace, and the salvation we have through Jesus Christ, it's all truth. It's real. You can be forgiven of no matter what you've done. You can be restored to Christ. You can be restored to God through the work of Christ on the cross. It's all true. But if I only preach that and I don't preach the discipleship, the following Jesus, the placing your heart in a place where you're searching after Jesus, if I don't preach and teach those things, then I'm leaving you in a place that can lead to disaster. You have to set your heart on following Jesus. You don't have to get everything perfect, but you do have to be trying. God can cover all of our lack. He showed it with the Apostle Paul. Paul prayed and prayed and prayed for God to take that thorn from his flesh. And God said, my grace is sufficient for you. God is telling us in his written word that he can cover over what we can't. But we need to set our hearts on trying. We need to set our hearts on moving towards Jesus Christ. God can overcome our lack, and he will. But a heart set on following Christ will be trying. With all this said, let's read our verse for today again. It says, 1 Peter 1:17, if you address as Father, and this means if you believe in God, if you understand that He loves you and desires to hear from you and interact with you, if you believe that you have a Heavenly Father, then this verse is for you. It continues, the one who impartially judges according to each one's work, all that God promises, blessings and consequences, are given out exactly as they're promised to be. God does not lie. It will happen as promised. The one who impartially judges according to each one's work. And what's next? Conduct yourself in reverent fear of Him and profound respect for Him. I've heard several people soften this part of this verse. People say, why are we to fear our loving Father? Here's what they're missing. God does not lie. When He declares that something is going to happen, then He is going to do it. It will happen just as He says it will. God has made statements, commands, and promises in His written word. He's wrote them down and they were verified by Christ. We see in the Gospels where Jesus Christ is walking through life and He's teaching and preaching and He's using the Scriptures to stand on. He's pointing out the Scriptures on how they point to the Messiah, which is Him. The Bible is truth, and our righteous judge will carry it out just as He has delivered it to us. Why are we to have a reverent fear and profound respect for God? Because He holds true to His Word 100%. And that means that we could find ourselves eternally separated from Him because we chose to set aside something that's not appealing to us and find that God stays true to His Word. And so by our choice, we will be separated from God for eternity. Fear the truth that your choice to stay in something that God says will separate you from Him will in fact separate you from Him if you remain in it. God is true to His Word, even with the uncomprehendable love that He has for each of us. He will still carry out His truth. It's extremely important that we learn the truth of all that God has said, and that's why I asked you to search God's Word for yourself and let Him speak to you. Let it set in your heart what He says over what somebody standing behind a pulpit says. It's extremely important that you learn the truth of all that God has said. Your eternity, your soul, your entry into eternity will happen exactly as God has promised, based on the choices you made deep in your heart. It matters. You need to know that God sees you through your heart. Your heart will show if you're following Christ or putting on a show for people. Christ called out the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the teachers of the law on their hollow actions. When you're going through Scripture, you will see that. These people who were outwardly devoted to God and their entire life did everything to stand in the presence of people like they were righteous. And Jesus continually called out their hollow efforts. But He also lifted up people who were broken, and everyone knew it. He lifted these people up because He saw the heart of repentance in them that reveals a heart desiring to follow God and turn away from the sins of this world. Why does God's Word tell us to have fear of God? Because even with the amazing amount of love that God has for you and me, He will let us experience the fruit of our choices. God put it out there. God's Word was here long before we were. These are the things that will happen. Now we have a choice to make. Will we follow His leading? Or will we choose to walk in the other direction with a choice or two? Walking away from God even a little is still separation from God. It's your choice. And the truth is only you can make it. We can try to force this choice onto people. I could stand up here and and make myself red in the face trying to preach God's word to you and trying to pound it into people. But the Holy Spirit will open a heart and each person will make a choice. And at that time, the choice is made. It's not made by me. It's not made by our parents. It's made by us. Your eternity is in your own hands. Just know this. God is 100% true to His word, even if it breaks His heart to watch it happen. Should you be afraid of God's wrath? No. You should not be afraid of God's wrath. He loves you, and He's not punishing you. But you should be afraid of the truth of what's held in the choices you make today. I want to stop for a moment. I said, should we be afraid of God's wrath? And I said, no. And that's because it's not the wrath of God that we should be afraid of, as we understand wrath to be. In our hearts, we understand wrath as anger and punishment and beating somebody down. And that's not what we should be afraid of from our God. He loves us too much for that. But what we should be afraid of is how truthful God is. He's 100% true to what He wrote. And so if He wrote that if we make a choice, that this is what's going to happen based on that choice, then it is going to happen exactly as He said it. That's what we should be afraid of. When we're making our choices, when we're choosing the directions we should go in our life, we should take into account that even if there's tears in His eyes, God is going to stand on the promises that He made. Let's pray. Lord God, in every one of our lives, Your word says that none of us is perfect. The only perfect person was Jesus Christ. So with that knowledge, in every one of our lives, Lord God, there is something that You're working on in us. There is a sanctifying process that You're still doing in us. You're working step by step through something in my life. You're working step by step through something in each other person's life. You're working step by step through situations and things going on in people's lives that aren't even here yet. Lord God, we see all of that written down in Your word, and so we know it's true. We come before You today, Lord God. We ask for Your mercy upon each one of us, because we know what we're dealing with, we know what we're working through, and we know that those choices that we made possibly long ago, we know that those choices that we made when somebody hurt us because of something they did, we know that those choices that we made have fruit attached to them. It could be good fruit, or it could be bad fruit. And we know that Your word holds true to what it says about blessings and consequences. We know that in Your word You put things in there because there's things You don't want us to experience, and there's great things You do want us to experience. Help us, Lord God. Help us to reach more and more for You each day. Search our hearts, Lord God, and if there's something that we're holding on to that's going to separate us from You when we cross from this life into eternity, please, Lord God, reveal it to our hearts today. Speak to each one of us, Lord God, about what's going on inside of us, what we need to do to be 100% devoted to You. Lord God, we know that You can cover a multitude of sins in our life, but we also see in Your word that says that we need to set our heart on You. Help us today to set our heart on You. In Your mighty name, Lord Jesus, we ask this, and we thank You for Your word. Amen.